this week. Not to be outdone by the PS4 Neo, Microsoft too hits the rumor mill with reports of an Xbox One Slim body as well as another controller update. It's not all rumors this week, as we also have delays, updates, releases, and so much more, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Forge Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, May the 1st of 2016, episode number 639 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here in lovely Sacramento, California, Studio N7, to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with you every Sunday night, live at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show, with my co-host joining me tonight. Say hello, everybody, to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you, Loki?
I'm hungry.
Yes, Loki got in here just in the nick of time. I was really worried I was about to go on air by myself. All by myself. Nobody wanted that to happen. So Loki got here just under the buzzer, I guess, because they were taking a long time.
They were stupid. Food. Yeah.
Perfectly rational explanation. Obviously, we are usually joined by the lovely Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers. I would not want to neglect her introduction, but she's not here tonight. I mentioned last week she was going to be out this week. She was on a brief little two-week hiatus from the show just because she'd been sick last week. And she's at Disneyland today with Dan. Actually, no, they are not at Disneyland. They are at California Adventure, because I guess they had to do one or the other, because it's expensive to do both now. Have you seen the cost of freaking Disney tickets lately? So they decided to just do California Adventure today. So they are there riding California Screamin' over and over, and on the Toy Story ride, I'm sure. So that's where she is at. And our pal Bobby Blackwolf, usually on before us here at the Voice of Geeks Network, was also not on tonight. So it's a very lonely night here Sunday night at VOG Network, just myself and Loki. And here's the other funny thing, is that I'm not feeling so well. I feel okay. Like, I don't, like, have a fever or anything, but maybe you might be able to hear it in my voice a little bit. I'm starting to get, like, sinusy. My throat's getting a little scratchy, so it's like, great. I'm catching whatever's going around, which I think Loki had a little bit of last week, and I know Alan has been fighting off, so it's like, oh my gosh. Something out there, like, does not want OLR. Like, does something bad happen if OLR hits 14 years? Because I feel like the forces out there are trying to prevent Orange Lounge Radio. No, you know what it is? We're not allowed to hit episode number 666. That's what's happening. The forces out there are trying to stop us from getting to 666 with all these, sicknesses and things that come up and so forth. So, yeah, I'm not feeling 100% my best today, but I'm going to, like, I really don't want to turn into a bi-monthly show, so I'm going to push through tonight, but we'll probably be a little bit shorter of a show tonight. We're going to try to just push through one solid segment here, no break tonight. We cut a few story slots and a couple of our regular segments, and thinking we'll be done at about 8 o'clock, but I'm thinking, how long is your podcast when you're thinking that's going to be a short show tonight? It's going to be about 2 hours. Anyway, enough of that type of housekeeping stuff. You guys are here to talk about video games. Let's get into it this week. Loki, I wanted to start off with this. Sorry, my friend, as I know you're trying to eat, but we have to talk about this because everybody's talking about this. This was all over Twitter a couple days ago. Literally in the middle of the night, Nintendo drops tweets on us announcing some, like, huge news, right? What happened, Loki? Tell us a little bit about this Nintendo stuff.
They said that they were going to announce new amiibos. Is that what we're talking about?
No, I don't think it's the new amiibos. I think that was thing, but there was more fanfare for the damn amiibos than there was this news.
That the NX is scheduled to be coming out around, I think, March of next year. And that Zelda is being delayed to coincide with its launch, which is, big shock. Although it's not, because we kind of figured it was. Yeah.
You make it sound like the most anticlimactic thing that ever happened. But my God,
because we know nothing about the system.
Did you read any news sites that day? Because I swear to God, the tone all over the internet on these websites was, Nintendo is fucked. Like, I don't think that's the headline they can actually run on the front page of Yahoo, but I swear to God, if they could, that's what they would have said, because every freaking, like places running this story about how fucked Nintendo is because of this news. That like one headline's like the Wii U is the biggest purchase I ever regret, or something like that. Like, I regret buying the Wii U more than anything else I've ever bought in my life. And I'm just like, fucking sit down, you drama queen. Take all the seats. Like, really? Clearly you never bought an N-Gage or, you know, or a Ouya. I shouldn't say that. We actually have Ouya fans out there. But you know what I mean? I think there are far worse things to have happened to gaming than the Wii U. But maybe that's just my perspective. I tend to defend Nintendo a little more on the show. I'm sure the listeners are dying to know what you think of all this, Loki.
I thought that's when it was coming out anyways. It was in the first part of next year. Zelda was delayed to launch with the system. No shit, it was going to launch with the system. I don't know. Nothing was a surprise to me. Big surprise, I guess, is that, hey, we're not making games for the Wii U. So now no one will.
Well, then there was the big E3 thing where, hey, the only thing we're bringing to E3, or at least that's what it sounds like. Like, I still kind of can't believe this, but the way the tweets were worded, it really made it sound like we're going to just bring Zelda. That's it. We got this big old booth, and we're just going to have the Zelda line take up the booth because we know you all want to play it. So Zelda is the only thing we're basically bringing to E3. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Zelda's the only thing you're going to bring? Maybe it's the only thing you're bringing on Wii U to E3. But what about Pokemon Sun and Moon? Those games are kind of a big deal. They're really a big deal now that you've basically said you're not going to have a console game in 2016. And that's why everybody's running with these headlines about how fucked Nintendo is because Nintendo has no 2016 holiday, basically, when it comes to the Wii U. But they're obviously still going to have a game when it comes to the 3DS because Pokemon is not something to sneeze at. I think Nintendo's mobile advances are nothing to be ignored. That was the other surprise they dropped that, you know, everybody's talking, oh my God, NX, but they also kind of dropped, and this is a big deal, that Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing are the franchises that are tapped to come to mobile. And Animal Crossing, I think, makes a lot of freaking sense. Granted, I think it's going to end up pretty much being the same stinking game we've been playing for 15 years now, ever since the GameCube version, with minor revisions. And I'm sure they'll do little things to it to make it the more free-to-play type stuff where, you know, the furniture costs coins that trickle in as you do the mundane errands, but you can get a lot of coins if you get out your wallet, like that whole type of thing. I'm sure it's going to tie into Animal Crossing. But it makes a lot of sense. And Nintendo amping up their mobile game in 2016, I still think is worth some credit and not worth running a headline about how hosed Nintendo is because, I mean, Zynga, freaking all their success was because of mostly one mobile game. So if even one of those games is a success and Miitomo continues to be a success, I don't see where Nintendo is like hosed. Are they going to have a bad year? Probably, but they're also sitting like don't they sit on like $5 billion in the bank or something like that? They're sitting on an ungodly amount of money in the bank. So I don't think Nintendo's screwed, but the NX can't miss. Like if the NX is a miss, then maybe we're going to be talking about those types of articles. But I don't know. We're a ways off. Anyway. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Again, we do tape live Sunday nights, and you guys join us live in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, and you lend us your opinions and sometimes things that you're digging up as well on some of the things that we're talking about right now. MXC actually posted in our chat room a portion of the official press release comment on the E3 thing. This June, Nintendo will focus its attention on the upcoming game in the Zelda franchise. The Wii U version of the game will be playable for the first time on the E3 show floor, and it will be the only playable game Nintendo presents at the show in order to provide attendees a complete immersion. Okay, well, that's a PR. In order to provide attendees a complete immersion, Loki. It's going to be the Zelda experience. There's going to be, like, cosplayers and little statues and things at the booth and light mood lighting, Loki. Maybe rupees that you can actually take home as swag loot. That's what it's sounding like to me. So that is interesting. So that is going to be the only playable thing they show at the show. That is,
but Zelda's not a title that you really need to hype up. I mean, it kind of hypes itself.
Yeah. Going to our chat for some more comments here. SSGO100 Matt says, Nintendo doesn't need to show their full hand at E3. Doesn't help them to get in a pissing match there with other console makers. Tiger Claw says, Nintendo is big enough to do their own events. They don't really need E3 anymore.
Actually, no. I think that's a whole load of shit right there, to be honest. Because
really?
You're trying to sell a new system that no one knows jack shit about. Other than Zelda's going to be coming to it. And you're hoping that all this goodwill that they have is going to sell that fucking system. If people don't see a system at holiday and they're like, well, you know, the PlayStation 4 looks pretty nice or the Xbox One looks pretty nice, drop the money there. They're not going to have the money for the new system. I mean, it's you're only selling it on one game right now.
I'm like half with you on that. I mean, I think that is a huge question right now is, okay, well, if the NX will not be playable at E3, then when? Are they going to show it before the holiday season or are they going to show it after the holiday season, and how? Because there will be no E3. So, I mean, the obvious answer that jumps to my mind first is Tokyo Game Show. However, Nintendo hasn't participated in Tokyo Game Show for quite some time. I don't know why they would suddenly start now. Nintendo has in the past, not every year, but they have in the past run a concurrent event around Tokyo Game Show. So it seems likely that they could do something like that in Japan, but that, you know, again, doesn't show how it's going to get here in America. I wonder if they're not going to do a Nintendo Direct and every Best Buy in the nation is going to have some of the Nintendo stuff to play. I sort of just think that's the only path that's left, because I don't really see Nintendo doing an expo of their own, say, like the PlayStation Experience. And so what else do they have where they can get directly to the players? Penny Arcade Expo? I don't know if that... I mean, I kind of think the NX will end up at PAX, I guess, East next year. But, I mean, there's... I don't know. There really isn't a precedent now for how Nintendo gets that system out there. I sort of think they're going to have to do the mall tour, the Best Buys. You know, they're going to have to take their case to the consumers in that regard. But Nintendo has kind of done it before. We'll see. Interesting thought from Act Deft in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Universal Studios presents Nintendo Experience, calling it interesting. We do know there is that Nintendo Universal partnership, which many of us are thinking thrill rides, and you know, obviously that'll be a part of it. But could Nintendo have the NX playable at theme parks? That would be weird. That's the only thing about it. That would be really weird, because then it's like you're paying money to go play those games. You know what I mean? To get in the park. It's weird. It's a little weird. But then again,
they've done it before with other things.
Yeah, I remember at California Great America here, they had the Wii. They had like a Wii experience type thing there for a while. I mean, it was after the system was out, but they, you know, it was still something. Oh, interesting. Let's see. Trying to get a couple more comments here over at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo in chat says, Nintendo knows that E3 isn't relevant anymore. They have their own showcase shows. A lot of people are reading into that angle of it where here's yet another company that's really de-emphasizing E3. I mean, they haven't pulled out of E3, but they pulled the thing that almost everybody I know that was going to E3 this year had said, I'm excited to play the NX. And Nintendo just pulled that from E3. So yet another thing has just exited the show this year.
Well, it's just like it's... I understand that they don't have to reveal it at E3, but you got to reveal it at some point. And it's, what's the harm? I mean, I guess unless you're sure that, you know, people are going to be disappointed by what they see, but that gives you more time to get feedback on it. I'm just like thinking right now, there's nothing has me hyped for the NX. I don't know anything about it.
Well, I kind of think that's a loaded perspective, though, because of course you don't. Nintendo has kept everything under their hat. Let's reevaluate after E3 this year, because maybe just because the NX won't be there doesn't mean they won't say anything about it. they may still say some things about it, even though they may not necessarily have one there, and maybe they will unveil another title to get us hyped for it. Like, I know if they came out and said, all right, we know you're all waiting to see what's going to be on the NX. Here's
Pikmin 4. Woo!
How about F-Zero? Because if that's the one that they dropped, I'd be like, done, and I came. Like, there it is. Like, that's all it's going to take if they drop F-Zero, and I'm spent. Like, you know, if they announce, like, that big game or maybe a new Metroid or something, like, even just one little thing to tide us over, and then please look forward to October blah, 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 blah in Japan and November blah, blah, blah in the States when we're going to have more information and a playable thing. Like, maybe that'll be all they give us at E3. I don't know. But
I'm fine with that. Just, like, would like some information.
I also think, and one other thing, I don't want to drag this out too much, but again, this is the thing that a lot of people are talking about this week. I have a feeling their strategy, because you kind of mentioned the whole, well, how are they going to sell them in March if they're not around at the holiday and da-da-da and all this stuff. I wonder if Nintendo isn't kind of planning on that they're going to release this in March or April, whenever the fiscal year ends, like days before. And they're going to get their hardcore audience to pick it up the first day. And that's the audience that they're going to use to sell the system through Christmas, essentially. I think Nintendo is not actually targeting necessarily a huge spring, but a huge holiday 2017. Because, yes, they'll have some big launch titles, but I bet there's going to be... I mean, we know Zelda's going to be like the big one, right? But I bet there's going to be something really big that's holiday 2017, and that's going to be your Mario or, you know, your hypothetical F-Zero or Metroid or some big fucking title that, you know, a lot of people are going to want to play is actually going to be a holiday 2017 game, and that's when they really expect to move units. And then that way the early adopters are also kind of their early sellers, if that makes sense. They're early salesmen.
I guess.
Because I know that, you know, I really wanted a Super Nintendo after I went to my friend's house and played one. You know what I mean? Anyhow. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. SSG100 Matt says, they're trying to go grassroots. If they play it right, it could work. And Tiger Claw says, I have this feeling the NX is just an upgraded Wii U with a better CPU, GPU, and more memory. Well, it wouldn't exactly be out of character for Nintendo, but at the same time, if the rumors are to be believed, which there's an awful lot of them, if the rumors are to be believed, it's going to be more powerful than the current PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, which is about where the Wii U was when it came out. I think it was just a slight more powerful than the 360, but it wasn't, you know, like, you know, a huge thing. Will the NX be capable of doing 4K and all that stuff? Probably not. It's probably not going to be doing that type of stuff. But anyhow, lots of Nintendo stuff. Let's see. SG100 Matt says they'll have private events with the press and demo kiosks before the end of the year, I'm sure. And Rama says the NX is going to have PC specs similar to the PlayStation 4, so we're good. Well, clearly they're going to want to do something that makes it really easy this time for the other companies to port their games over. That was a big part of Wii U, is that if you wanted to do a Wii U game, you kind of had to put a lot of extra money into the port to have the second screen and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Anyway, that's the big news everybody's talking about. Let's get into a little bit of our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we've been playing this week, and then we'll get into housekeeping and the rest of our news and all that stuff. Sorry, I almost knocked over a dish. Live radio. Loki, how was your gaming week?
My gaming week was terrible, to be honest, because I was so sick this week. I was just exhausted, like literally falling asleep at 9 o'clock at night. So it was just not very conducive. And I tried to play games. I was like, oh, hey, cool, I'll play some Enter the Gungeon or something like that. Nope, not going to happen. So I played nothing this week aside from Ingress, which I actually did on Friday. Take some time to go walk around the state capital and get some unique portals there. just mainly because I was sick and I knew I couldn't concentrate. I wanted to concentrate on programming, but I was like, I need some fresh air. And so I went for a few hour walk and it felt great. But there was a lot of people there. My God, there's so many tours that go on there. It's ridiculous. I was like, holy cow. It's like a convention. There's like some sort of like podium thing that they're setting up. Like for, I don't know if that's for the Trump rally thing or if that's something else, but they're setting up some sort of like speaking podium thing. And then there's just like school groups swarming the building. It was ridiculous, but yeah. So I did that.
All right. Wow. Well, my gaming week, I haven't played like a lot of new stuff, honestly. I feel like I've been playing a lot of games, but it's a lot of like the same stuff. I don't have a lot of exciting new things to talk to you guys about. Final Fantasy 14. I've still been doing the grind in that, and my Dark Knight finally hit 60. So every class in Heavensward, I have at 60. So that's my little accomplishment there. And you can do like these grinds towards the end of the game to get the highest level equipment and so forth. It's something called the relic weapon, basically. So I've been working on those quests, my Astrologian, to try to get the best possible weapon. So I've been working on that. And then Diablo 3 had Season 6 start this weekend. And if you guys listen to the show for any length of time, you guys know I get into Diablo, especially when the seasons come around. And the big thing this season is that finally Blizzard added a lot more cosmetics to Diablo. Like they had introduced these pets, and then there's like maybe three or four that you can actually acquire. Well, now apparently there's a whole ton of them, so that's a big part of what they're doing with this season. So, you know, obviously it's not just pets, but they're doing these other changes that, you know, are interesting. So I've been playing a little bit of that, because that season just started on Friday, and I really didn't start playing till yesterday, and I'm already level like 45, and that's without somebody power leveling me. I find that joining public games, you get around people your same level, but you get a huge experience boost. And yeah, that's been helping me a lot. So been playing the Diablo season. Otherwise, on the Xbox One, I randomly had that on the other day, and I played Frogger. That's right, the Konami classic Frogger, because it showed up in my whole backwards compatibility thing. It's like every week you turn on your Xbox One, it's like, let's see what little gem from 10 years ago just popped into your collection from the backwards compatibility thing, and Frogger showed up this week. But you'll be proud of me, Loki. I also downloaded Saints Row 4 because that was the games with gold thing this week, which I have not played 4. I've played Saints Row 3 and I laughed my ass off, but I never played 4.
Well, so you'll like 4. You'll like 4 because 4 is basically 3 since they recycled the map again. But it's fun. Yeah. You'll like it.
Alan said the first few minutes of the game are laugh a palooza, like the last game.
It's ridiculous. So. It's just, yeah, it's a very unusual game.
Can't wait. Sounds like fun. Otherwise, continuing on the 3DS, I've been playing Zelda P-Cross as my nice little game before I go to bed. And Miitomo, I don't know if I mentioned this in last week's show, so I'll mention it now. I hit the cap in Miitomo. The social cap and the style cap is level 20. You can progress no further. So you get a giant red sparkly hat for hitting level 20, and I hit both on style and social. So that was my big accomplishment, Miitomo. Yet I'm still playing. I don't know why. I still load it every day, and I check answers, and
now,
I'll
did
answer
you see
a question.
The leaked footage from Pokemon Go, the beta?
I did see a little bit of that, yeah. It looks, I mean, here's the thing. I think it looks interesting. But I've also been playing Ingress this whole time, so I don't look at it from the Pokemon frame of reference. I look at it from the Ingress frame of reference. And so, for me, there's a lot of cool stuff in there, I think. But I understand the Pokemon fans are like, where's the traditional battling? Because it kind of doesn't seem to be there.
I'm not really sure how it plays, though. It's like, you go to spots, I'm not sure if you deploy your Pokemon there, and then they fight other people, or...
It seems like what you do is you go out and you catch Pokemon, but you don't necessarily catch them by fighting them. You flick your balls at them. That's literally what you're doing in the game, right? You kind of flick the little balls at them, and that's where you can actually use a camera on your phone, so it makes it actually look like, you know, AR a little bit, and so you can capture the Pokemon that way. But then what happens is that at some point in the game, you have to choose if you're going to join the red gym, the blue gym, or the yellow gym, just like the old games from the Game Boy, red, blue, and yellow, which I guess they're going with the American colors, not the Japanese colors. And then once you choose a color for your gym, a lot of the places that we know as Ingress nodes today, as Ingress players, some of the beta players are saying about 40% of those nodes are Pokemon gyms. So what happens is that once you choose a color for your team, when you go to the gym, if it's a gym of the opposing color, you can battle the Pokemon that's there to take the gym for your color. And if it's your color, you leave a Pokemon behind to defend it. So imagine Ingress, but the Resonators are Pokemon. That's kind of the sense I'm getting out of the game. And there's three factions, and none of this, at least as far as I know, none of this like fielding, linking stuff that's big and like that's not really part of it. That's all left in Ingress. So it's interesting.
All right.
Yeah. I, again, this is all early beta. A lot can still change. We'll see. I wonder if that's not maybe. You know, maybe that'll be a thing Nintendo comes out at E3 and says, and Pokemon Go is out today, and you can download it on phones. I'm very much expecting Nintendo to have a mobile-focused year in a way. Like, I think that E3 Nintendo Direct will absolutely have mobile in it. I understand that Pokemon Go is not directly a Nintendo game, but it's close enough. So, and then they'll probably show footage from the Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem and give us a sense when to expect those. I would imagine Fire Emblem's first, but that's totally just guessing. So, anyway, that is, and SSG100 Matt says, so Rob will be choosing Team Green. No, there is no green in Pokemon Go, so I'm still unsure. I have a feeling I'm going to get talked into doing blue because that's what Shane will want to do, which is going to be very weird for me because that's not what I do in Ingress, but we'll see. A lot can still change between now and Pokemon Go whenever that comes out. I have to kind of see, like, are there benefits for each team? Do some Pokemon get stronger? Like, what? There's a lot that could still kind of change my mind.
I forgot. I was going to mention something.
Yeah.
Let me just bring this up here real fast. Okay. I want to show you something.
Sure. He's getting out his phone to show me something.
Okay. Let's see here. I just wanted to show you, like, I remember I was talking to you about how Ingress screen burned my phone.
Yeah. You did say something about that.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can get it so that you can actually see it here real quick.
Well, this makes for riveting radio.
It is make for riveting radio, but I just wanted to see if I can... Here, let me try pulling this up here real fast.
Okay, so he's diddling around on his phone trying to, I guess, navigate...
I'm trying to get something so you can actually see... What I'm talking about.
Open like a new browser window so it's like solid white. That would be what I would do. While he's working on that, let me try to get some more comments in our chat room. Live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw says, I got Star Fox Zero yesterday. I had enough points from the GameStop power-up rewards to get $25 off. Orange Wright, talking about Miitomo, says that's 15 my Nintendo points a day. You know what, Orange Wright? That is actually a big reason, I think, why I still do Miitomo. Because if Nintendo's going to give us free games for 1,000 points, then yeah, I'm going to try to keep earning those. I mean, even though the games aren't that big a deal, I have been playing quite a bit of Zelda P-Cross, which was the game that you can get for 1,000 points.
Like in the bottom corner, okay. Here, you can see the comm thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you do have like a screen burn on your phone. That's crazy.
Yeah, and then normally in the upper right-hand corner, too, it's harder to see right here, right now. In the upper, you can hear see the ops button and everything.
You should take that to wherever you bought the phone, because that strikes me as what a cheap piece of shit.
It's a Samsung Galaxy S6, though. I mean, it's...
Something went wrong in the factory. I don't know. Do any of you guys know? Do cell phones really screen burn like that? I guess they don't want you to play Ingress anymore. I don't know. All right. Anyhow, I don't have a lot of housekeeping for you guys tonight. We are still going to be here every Sunday, as far as I know. We will be at Dragon Con, or at least I will be at Dragon Con over Labor Day, but that's still a ways out. So in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. Act deft in chat about the screen burn saying, I'm pretty sure they shouldn't. Yeah, I don't. I'm pretty sure they shouldn't either. So interesting. Anyway. Let's get into gaming news for the week. Loki, why don't you start us off?
So this is pretty cool. One of the things that kind of leaked out, they have a few different ways this has been leaking out. So in Black Ops 3 right now, in the Nuketown map that they have, they've been kind of doing these like little hidden trailers or like teaser video things like that that are kind of teasing at the next Call of Duty. Also, there were some retail pieces that were kind of leaked out as well about another Call of Duty game called Call of Duty infinity warfare. So kind of like a futuristic warfare thing. But what one of the big things about that, though, on the actual artwork, it lists not only do they have Infinite Warfare, which will be coming out November 4th, 2016, but that there's also going to be, if you buy like a certain Legacy Edition, it's going to come with Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the original, number 4, remastered. So it's basically going to be the, I consider probably one of the best games in the Modern Warfare series, remastered on the PlayStation 4, which is fucking amazing, and I can't wait for that. So that's the rumor right now. Apparently, you know, they're seeing that it's going to be, you know, the campaign plus 10 of the multiplayer maps, which is kind of unusual because there were more than 10 multiplayer maps in that game. So I'm not sure if they're just not redoing all of them, which it would be kind of disappointing. But maybe that opens up for DLC or something. So we'll just have to see if that's actually going to be a legit thing or not. But I hope it is.
Is this... I mean, I might be talking crazy, and that's fine. Didn't I hear that they might not put out new games in these series every year? So maybe this is like a holdover?
Well, no. It's going to be a new game this year.
Oh, so it's just remastered, but it's...
They're going to put out the new Call of Duty game, which is Call of Duty Infinite Warfare and Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered.
That's a lot of Call of Duty. SG100 Matt says, I would soon get the remastered version of Modern Warfare over Infinite Warfare.
Oh. Yeah, I would say the same thing. I'll play both. But I love Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the original one. I mean, it had some of the best maps in the series.
Yeah, it's kind of like... I don't know, it's kind of like when they remastered Final Fantasy X. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go back and play this because this is a great game, even though there might be newer Final Fantasies to experience, you know? But why not? If it was a great Call of Duty game, then yeah, they should remaster it and go back to it. So, also, by the way, on the screen burn-in issue in chat, SJ100 Matt says, my Galaxy S3 had a little keyboard screen burn just when I replaced it recently, but that was with 3 to 4 years of use.
This is not 3 to 4 years of use.
It's like 3 to 4 months, right? You haven't had that very long.
It's 6 months. End of September.
Still. All right. Anyhow, more rumors about the Xbox One. You know, huge talk about the PlayStation 4 Neo, which I guess is their code name. We were talking about in last week's show. And we've heard rumors that Microsoft is looking at doing something similar. And those rumors are gaining a lot of steam this week. There are yet more inside reports and rumors. There was, leaked production notes that showed the Xbox One Slim model. And those production notes came from a Chinese manufacturer. Well, now another Microsoft insider has said that, yes, new Xbox hardware is coming. That there's new Xbox hardware that's going to be announced at E3. And there will be a new controller. The controller is going to be similar to the current pad, but with probably a default white color. The controller will be updated, but they don't really say how. I'm assuming just to make it the D-pad. I mean, I don't know. I like the Xbox One controller a lot more than the 360, but maybe they're going to try to throw some of those enhancements that are in the Elite in it. I don't know. We'll see. And apparently the new Xbox is a much bigger deal than an updated standard controller. But what the fuck does that mean? So are they putting new power in it or not? Like, if the Xbox thing is just a slim device, then okay, whatever. We see this happen all the time. This has been happening since
it's
the PlayStation 1.
It's coming with Microsoft
1.
Office as well. It's a big deal.
Well, okay. Nobody's talking about the whole, like, you know, some people, I guess, are talking about the upgrade thing, but maybe that is what it does. Maybe this box is not just an Xbox One, but this is more of a bridge with your PC somehow. That it's going to stream more from your PC or let everything on your Xbox.
Why can't it be a PC? Like, seriously, like, run...
Just
like,
buy a PC and
like,
hook it up
you
to
know,
TV.
Like the Windows tablets that they have the Surface Pro or the Surface, not the Pros, but like the RT ones, you know, have just like a limited app set on there and, you know, run Office stuff. And that way you're buying a system. And if you need to, you know, crunch an Excel file, you could do that as well.
As long as they don't fragment the games, which, you know, we were talking about the PlayStation 4 stuff last week. Okay. You know, as long as the games don't get fragmented, if it's doing 4K output for movies, then whatever. But I just hope that Microsoft is going down a similar path where the games do not end up all fragmented, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to see that happen, because I'll be pissed that I have all that money I spent on an Xbox One if now this year's holiday games are not going to run on it. You know what I mean? I really don't think that'll happen. I kind of just feel like this device is going to be, yeah, it's going to be a slimmer device and maybe a little more oomph for movies and a little more of the PC connectivity and doing more of that. Maybe it'll be a little more power in it for HoloLens or whatever. But as long as, you know, Crackdown will still run on the Xbox One that I have and Scalebound and all the stuff that I'm looking forward to, we'll be fine. So we'll see. Anyway, I guess that's what we've got coming out of Microsoft. Look forward to E3. It's going to be interesting. Now you've got Sony and Microsoft announcing new consoles, but they're not really new consoles. It's not a new console cycle. And then Nintendo is like, here's our one game. We'll see.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase POINT.
Loki, what do you have for us next?
All right, so this is kind of cool. You know, they're going to have, they put out these all the time on Steam, like those Genesis collections where there's a bunch of the ROMs and everything you could play. And a lot of times I'm like, why would I buy this? Because I could just run this through an emulator or something like that. I still buy them, yes, but I ask myself that question, though. Why am I purchasing this? Probably because it's a large number of games that are on my Steam library and it pads the numbers quite well. That's usually the reason. But
I want to look sicker to all my friends. I don't look crazy enough. I need to go for broke.
Exactly. So this is kind of cool, though. This is actually something that they're doing that's very different. They're actually offering or adding Steam Workshop support for Sega Genesis and Mega Drive Classics. That's right. ROM hacks are going to be officially supported by this now. That's pretty exciting. So that would definitely be something I would have to pick up this collection just to check it out. But very cool to see that they're actually kind of supporting that.
Are you going to try playing around with this at all? Do you have any games to support it? I thought I bought a Humble Bundle that had all the old Sega stuff, but I guess not. I have like Space Channel 5 Part 2. I think that's what I bought, something that had like the Dreamcast stuff, but this isn't about...
This is Genesis. I have the Genesis one I bought off of Amazon a long time ago when I used to buy digital games off of there, so I have the key for that. I'm not sure if that's the same collection or if they re-released it or something, but I'll take a look and see.
Stop Drop in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I can't wait for Scrotum the Hedgehog. Because that's what happens. I remember when ROM hacking first started a long time ago. I remember there were two things. Somebody did Mario with dicks. It was just dicks everywhere. It was like the coins were dicks. Everything was a dick. It was Dick Mario. It was like one of the first ROM hacks. Like one of the first I ever saw, Dick Mario. And then, okay, here's the greatest one. Because this game wasn't even out in the U.S. There was a Japanese-only game. God, this is... I'm like embarrassing myself even about to talk about this. There was a Japanese-only game called Nuts and Milk. And I'll just let you fill in the gaps to what ROM hackers did to that game in the first month that, you know, people figured out how to get into the files and edit sprites and all that stuff. Is that it just became Nuts and Nuts is basically what happened there. So ROM hacking and making them dirty has been around since the turn of the century, basically. You know, we've been saying that in gaming for forever, is that what's the time to penis? So that is a good question. How long until, I mean, is Steam going to police for Scrotum the Hedgehog? Or will that not, is that just, it's going to be a wild, wild west out there? What's going to happen? Do we know if Steam is policing any of that stuff?
I'm sure that they have like a review system. Right?
Yeah. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, the ROM hacks are really interesting. Some of them even swap in a totally different game. Yeah, I'd seen some of that too. Funny stuff. And SSG100 Matt says, like all the ROM hack cartridges that they were selling at MAGFest. Yeah, I don't know if I talked about that phenomenon here on the show. I think Bobby got into it on his show. But they were actually selling like ROM hacks dumped back to a cartridge. that you could then take home and play on your...
That sounds kind of illegal.
It's probably super illegal, but it's this really weird gray area because I think the patents... Like, that's why you can have these third-party Nintendos and Super Nintendos now is because I think the patents ran out. They run out after, like, 20 or 30 years. And so I kind of think the cartridges, the same thing happens. So now it's just a question of the intellectual property. I mean, if somebody really wanted to sue them, they would probably have a case. But it's a little vendor at a show. How many of these are they really selling? It's probably not worth it to pay the lawyer. Is probably the reality of that situation, is that, yeah, it's probably illegal, but it's not worth it to pay the lawyer. Oh, no. MXC in chat giving us some insight here, saying, some Steam Workshop stuff has been removed. It appears if you download them once, though, even after being officially removed, you can still access them. Oh, it's like iTunes. It's like when I got the MAME emulator on my iPad. I was like, oh, got to get that before they take it down, and... Sure enough, they got it down, but now it's on my account, so I can re-download it whenever, so it's kind of nice. All right, anyhow. So I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV lately, so I don't mean to bring up a game that I play an awful lot on the show, but maybe I do. But they had a big like conference this week and some announcements, and there's a very interesting crossover that's just too cool to ignore. Square Enix and Level 5 announced this week that they will be teaming up, and this was announced during the latest Final Fantasy XIV Letter from the Producer Live Part 29. On Final Fantasy XIV is going to be getting Yo-Kai Watch in the game, basically. Not the actual game, but some of the characters. So some of the Yo-Kai will actually become minions in the game. So like Jibanyan is going to be a minion that you can get in the game. That's pretty cool. Whisper and, you know, a lot of the Yo-Kai Watch. And then there's going to be Yo-Kai-inspired weaponry, which is pretty cool. So like, for example, you can get like a white mage staff that has a yokai on the end of it. I like to play a astrologian, and the astrologian has the snake yokai. I think it's Noko. It has that yokai like embedded on the astral globe. So that's pretty cool. And then also your character can actually equip a yokai watch as like a piece of equipment. I don't know what it'll do, but you can do that. And then they're actually going to be bringing a mount that is that ghost character. It's Whisper, and you see this on a lot of box art. You're actually going to be able to ride that as a mount. So that's really cool. But not only that, in Yo-Kai Watch 3 Sushi and Yo-Kai Watch 3 Tempura, they are going to be adding... So now this is going the other way. In the Yo-Kai games, they're going to add Chocobonyan, which is Jibanyan riding a Choco. And then they're going to have Mugulinyan, which is a Moogle, but done in Yo-Kai Watch style. That's actually really rad, I got to say. So it's a really kind of a neat little crossover there. Square Enix and Level 5 doing that between the two. So as a Final Fantasy XIV player and someone who enjoyed what I played of Yo-Kai Watch, I will try to collect every one of those minions because I like to collect minions in the game anyway. So I'm looking forward to whatever event they do. I'm sure they're going to do some event to promote the release of the game in Japan, and hopefully we see it here in the States as well. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and look at some video games that are coming out soon, a lot sooner than Yo-Kai 3 will be here in the States.
All right, so we've got Battleborn coming out this week on PlayStation 4, PC, and Xbox One. Man, still not over that sickness yet.
I'm telling you, the forces do not want us to get too much further.
I still feel way better than I did the last week. Oh, that's for sure. And then along with that, let's see, aside from Battleborn, not a whole lot. Actually, I want to say that's it. Battleborn, that is your week.
Well, that's supposed to be like a big title, right?
Yeah, it's the 2K kind of equivalent of... Wasn't that supposed to be similar to Team Fortress 2 or something?
Yeah, sorry. I tried playing the beta. I couldn't get into it. I really couldn't. I'm sorry. But I just... You know, I know some other friends of mine have been playing it and loving it. So, cool. Hey, great. I couldn't get into it. Maybe I just need to give it another chance. I don't know. So, all right. But I know that was like a big thing that they showed at the PlayStation Experience anyway. And a lot of people were looking forward to that. So, maybe that's...
Well, the trailer looked cool last year, and I remember, you know, it's basically kind of like from the team that did Borderlands, so it I don't know. It seemed interesting, but it's not my style of game.
Gotcha. Well, looking at the release calendar in Japan, it's a very slow week in Japan. There is actually nothing on the PlayStation 4 this week. Uncharted 4 is the next big release in Japan, because that's going to be a big release here too as well. Japan will not be seeing that until May 10th, however. That is actually not happening this week. And the Vita doesn't really have anything this week either. And lastly, on the 3DS, yeah, it's a very, very slow week in Japan. So really no game releases to look forward to there. However, if you go to Europe, the story is a little bit different, as Battleborn makes its way to Europe this week on PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. So that is what you have to look forward to in Europe this week. In our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, wasn't Golden Week this week, or was that last week? I thought it was last week, but I that probably is coming into play as to why we don't have a ton of releases in Japan this week. So there you go. Not a whole lot to look forward to this week in Japan, and just one big game in the UK. Well, this is the part of the show where we like to take a trip down memory lane and visit the classic game of the week. And every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you ungrateful little brat should be playing this game. But this week, she's not here, so we're taking over this segment for her. Since last week, I got to do one of my picks, this week, we're going to let Loki do one of his picks. And I actually still do not know what he's picking. I don't even have a YouTube up for anything for audio. So, Loki, what is the classic game of the week?
See, I was undecided first. I didn't know if I should... You know, Jamie has a very specific rule that she's never going to pick Halo.
Right.
And so I thought, well, maybe I should pick Halo. Just
piss her off.
Just to spite her.
I would disavow that completely, because I do not want... I want my Disneyland souvenir. Yours will get tossed in the fire.
So, and unfortunately, you know, in order to best appreciate that, Bobby would really need to be in the chat to do that.
That is true. Bobby did run out. I think he went on a trip or something. I don't know.
So
I think he's with his lady friend.
In chat. So perhaps we shall table that to another week.
Fair enough.
So
you're blaming Bobby now for the Halo thing not happening.
I'm blaming Bobby for the Halo thing not happening.
The classic game of the week would have been Halo.
It would have been Halo. instead, we're going to get a far better game.
Okay. What is it?
Which is going to be Driver 3.
Driver 3 is the classic game of the week. Of course.
Because Driver 3 is just, it's where basically Atari said, hey, you know what? We could totally do that Grand Theft Auto thing. I mean, the first two Driver games were pretty awesome. I mean, it was basically all about, you know, car chases and about the driving. And then Drive 3-er was all about, let's just try to steal, you know, copy Grand Theft Auto. And it failed terribly. It had some really buggy AI. Like, the cops, when they're chasing after you, you could hide behind a car and they would try to shoot directly at you. And if... You know, the cop car that they happened to be hiding behind was right in front of them. They would blow up their own cop car and kill themselves because they were trying to shoot at you. It was awesome. So, Driver 3, you know, it basically came out in 2004 on PlayStation 2 and Xbox, as well as mobile platforms. They even had a game version for Game Boy Advance. And... Basically, you know, the game revolved around, I guess, FBI agents John Tanner and Tobias Jones.
Wait, there was a story?
Yes. And no, seriously.
All right.
There was. And they had actual, you know, they had Michael Madsen playing John Tanner and Ving Rhames playing Tobias Jones. And then they were trying to, you know, to intercept the criminal Charles Jericho, played by Mickey Rourke. That's some, like, serious talent right there. Too bad the game just did not reflect that talent. But basically, you know, revolved around you, you know, chasing after them over, you know, several different locations, including Miami, Florida, Nice, France, and Istanbul, Turkey. And really the way I played the game was I would just go into it. They had like a free mode that you could drive around. And I would just get in cars and drive them until they were literally... Because it had like a pretty real... I wouldn't call it a realistic damage system. But there was a damage system where like stuff would fall off your car. Like you could lose the front two wheels of your car. And drive around just on the axles and everything. And I would do that. And it was fun.
I remember one night your character was just, like, swimming underwater endlessly, and it was so, like, you swam, like, through polygons that were underwater somehow. I don't even, it was a mess. It was a freaking mess.
It was a mess. You know, they had, like, some realistic physics in the game. I don't know if I'd call it realistic, but, yeah. The reviews weren't that great, and this was one of the games that actually did kind of cause a controversy, because before the release of Driver 3, Atari had offered magazines PSM2 and Xbox World early review copies of the game in exchange for positive review scores.
Some folks in chat are talking about this right now. Stop Drop is mentioning this right now. They gave the game to two magazines early for promises of 9 to 10 reviews. 9 out of 10 reviews, excuse me. Then everyone was expecting a great game, and real reviews came in, so they tried to suppress those reviews and ban people from forums. So much for that.
Yeah, as you can see right now. Oh, and that was, this was another game that was kind of fun because I don't know if it was Driver 3 that my sister used to play Driver 3 quite a bit. And it allow you to create, like, replays of your actual, like, so you're driving around and causing mayhem and stuff and you could do replays. But one of the best parts about the game and the replay system is it wouldn't always sync up to what you were doing. So, like, you're doing, like, you're recording all this stuff, like, you're stealing cars and things. And then you go back and watch the replay, and your guy's just, like, running around aimlessly and, like, running into the ocean and just, like, all sorts of weird stuff happens. It was just a very glitchy, bad game. But it's fun. It's so bad, it's good at that point. And they were even so cocky that they had, like, it was an Easter egg where they had the character from Vice City wearing, like, floaties and stuff, and you'd have to go, you know, kill him, and that was like an Easter egg in the game. It was like kind of going, ha ha, look it, we're so much better than Grand Theft Auto. But their game was just not good. It was not good. But it was fun.
So no chance we'll ever have a Driver 4?
We did, actually. So that was Yeah, we had Driver San Francisco. So
oh, that's right. I thought
so
that was before.
So yes, we did actually have a Driver 4, and it was a better game. Because it was just about driving and not about getting out and running around.
They cut out all the Grand Theft Auto parts.
Yes, they did.
All right.
That's it.
That's it. Your classic game of the week. Driver 3.
Available. Not Halo, unfortunately.
Not Halo, unfortunately. But Driver 3 on, I know it's on the PC and it was on PlayStation 2.
2 and Xbox.
Original Xbox. Awesome. Just if you like glitchy games and trying to break games, which you guys have to understand, Loki really, like, that's, like, one of Loki's favorite things in games, is breaking them and
well,
watching
like, it
them
was,
do
like, one of those games,
stuff.
Like, I after I heard the review scores and how bad this game was, I'm like, I gotta try this thing. Because I liked the original Driver on PlayStation 1 was a really good game. It was a fun game. It, like, running from the cops and everything was fun, and Driver 2 wasn't so bad. I was like, well, I mean, it sounds like it could be fun, and so I played it. I'm like, wow, this is really terrible, but I had fun playing it because it was really bad.
All right. We are not going to be doing a break tonight. Since I mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to just keep moving on with some news, but we will get to your calls in just a little bit at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. But first, we're going to get into some rapid-fire news, starting with Loki.
All right. So, as I'm not sure if this is as a result of the whole, you know, Microsoft opening up their online, but good news, DC Universe Online is now available on Xbox One. So that's right, you can play it on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and Xbox One now. So, check it out. And it is still free to play. This is something I wanted to get set up on my phone. I haven't quite gotten a chance to do it because I was trying to sync my PlayStation 4 controller to my Android phone, and it just does not want to work. So Minecraft is now available for Samsung Gear VR, and I purchased this day one as soon as I saw that this was available. It is something I'm probably going to check out, hopefully maybe tonight. And yeah, it's you need a controller with it. So if you have a Bluetooth controller that works with your Android phone, then definitely check this out, but it's Minecraft in VR. What more can you want? And it's $7.99, I want to say, if you purchase it from the, or $6.99 from the Gear VR store. And then finally, we also have the free games you're going to be getting in May. So starting off with Games with Gold on Xbox, the free games you're going to get starting May 1st through May, or actually for the whole month of May, You're going to have Defense Grid 2. And then Costume Quest 2 will be available for the second from May 16th through June 15th. And then on Xbox 360, Grid 2 will be available for free May 1st through May 15th. And then Peggle will be available May 16th through May 31st. Of course, all those Xbox 360 games are compatible with the Xbox One. So be sure to pick them up, even if you don't have a 360. And then finally, on PlayStation Plus, you're going to be getting Tropico 5, Tabletop Racing World Tour, and Switch Galaxy Ultra on PlayStation 4. PlayStation 3, you're going to be getting Bionic Commando Rearmed 2 and Loco... Loco Roco Coco Recho.
I think that's
hard to say.
A lot of people were not feeling the free games this month.
I want to say there was a rumor that it was... Which game was it? The rumor was they're going to have... It was supposed to be Watch Dogs was the free game.
The rumor. That'd be kind of a big deal.
Maybe for June. Maybe because if they're, obviously going to be announcing Watch Dogs 2 or whatever.
Right. My thought was that maybe they're trying to keep some things and holding it for E3. Because then they could announce at E3 that some big games are going to be playable. So that's why you have kind of a month, is that it's going to lead into a really big month. Because then, June's usually kind of a big deal.
And then Vita, God of War, Ghost of Sparta, and Switch Galaxy Ultra as well. So that's it.
All right. Well, you know what? Hey, it's still free. It might not be the stuff
exactly.
You wanted, but
you know what? I've not played Tropico 5 any of the Tropico games.
Sometimes these games are freaking awesome. You may not have heard of them, and you play them, and they're actually rad. So go check it out. Nintendo really did announce new amiibo. Loki was not joking earlier. Splatoon is going to be getting some new amiibo. The Squid Sisters, Callie and Marie, who do all the announcing in the game, and they do that stay fresh, that little pose, the stay fresh pose. That is actually going to be the pose. I got to say, I love the way these amiibo look. I love the bottoms with the ink kind of coming out. These look great. These amiibo are really getting put together better and better. They're also going to be releasing new color variants of Inkling Girl, Inkling Boy and Inkling Squid, which is kind of whatever. But they're going to be out on July 8th. Callie and Marie will cost $25 together. And then the new bundle with the recolors is going to be $35 if you want to check that out.
See, we were worried that Nintendo wasn't going to release anything this year.
Well, it is interesting that, they are adding more. I don't think these things add new levels or anything into Splatoon, but I think it is like recolorings for the characters or... what did the Callie and Marie thing do? I don't remember what they did off the top of my head. Maybe somebody in chat remembers. But they're just going to do like tiny little tweaks. Like it's nothing like major to the game. But it's still something. If that makes sense. ActDev says they have music in them. Well, that's still something. Well, something. I would honestly get these for the figures. They look great. So anyway, moving on. Xenoblade Chronicles. Not the one that was on Wii U, but it was on the Wii and was really hard to get on the Wii because when they finally released it here in the States after like years of waiting, they only released it at GameStop, which was a big pile of shit. I think they did do the online shop, to be fair. I think you could buy it direct through Nintendo as well, to be fair. But you couldn't buy it everywhere else. It was kind of a retailer exclusive. Well, now if you missed Xenoblade Chronicles and you want to experience where Shulk comes from and so forth, you can actually download it on Wii U eShop. That is kind of a big release that just came out for the Wii U eShop. If you want it, it will cost you $20 or $19.99. So it is a good game. It is one of the greatest Japanese PlayStation 2 RPGs I played. Yet it was on the Wii. So. Take that for what it's worth. And lastly, we talked a little bit about this last week, but now we have a date. The new Mass Effect ride. Does the ride have a name? I don't think it does. I think it's just the Mass Effect experience. Mass Effect New Earth. Thank you. I knew it had a name. Mass Effect New Earth is going to be opening May 18th at California's Great America. That is a Wednesday, and I'm trying to actually get over there. I don't have the nice camera and all that setup that Bobby has, but I'm hoping somehow I can do some video day one to bring back for you. Obviously, I can't film the ride. I think they'd probably frown on that, but if the rumors are true that there's going to be cosplayers, people dressed up, and some of the ambience, I'm sure, around the ride and so forth, I'm very excited to see it. So, yeah, I'm trying to make things happen so I can get over there that Wednesday to be one of the first to ride the ride. Very excited. So, May 18th. You gonna check that out at some point, Loki? I know you're not as into Mass Effect as the rest of us, but it's still a video game ride, which is kind of cool.
No.
No? Hater. All right. Tiger Claw in chat says, Sky should dress up as Joker while at that ride. You know, people don't really dress up for places like Great America like they do for Disneyland. The Disneyland thing is weird. Okay, I'm going to do a quick side tangent because this actually does relate to where, like Jamie is there at the park today, right? And today is a thing called Dapper Day, where people dress up like it was the days when Disneyland opened, when people would dress all fancy to go to the parks. So, like, you know, some friends of mine, like Victoria, who was on Guys on a Show a couple weeks ago, she's wearing like this really nice dress that she made out of like a Disney sheet and so forth. But they do this thing where you can't go into Disneyland dressed up as characters because they don't want people confusing you with the real characters, right? But they do this thing called Disney bounding, which is where you wear something that's inspired by a ride. So it's like you look kind of like it's like a crossbreed type of thing. So she wore a dress that looked like the Haunted Mansion colors, but it wasn't a Haunted Mansion dress, if that makes sense. But she wore something that was very much like, oh, that looks like a Haunted Mansion adjacent thing. So anyway, I maybe can wear my SR2 hat. That's what I'll do. I will BioWare bound when I go to California Great America. That's what I will do. I will have my red beard and my SR2 hat.
So, like, if someone came dressed up like, you know, Freddy Fazbear, you know, to Disneyland.
I think it would be frowned on.
But it doesn't look like any of the Disney characters. It just looks like one of their rides came alive and trying to eat children.
They're going to get you on the fact that you're wearing a mask. You can't wear anything that conceals
it's
your
face.
It's
not a mask. This is my face.
Yeah, I think it's a safety issue because they're going to say that they can't videotape you because you know there's a camera pointing at every single thing at Disneyland. Do not have sex at a Disney park. You will be filmed. I'm just saying. I've heard stories of what the Haunted Mansion employees have seen. That's all I'm going to say. Do not have sex at a Disney park. Don't do it. Unless you're into that kind of thing where you like to be an exhibitionist.
No sex in Disney Park. No sex in the Disney Park. Absolutely, positively, no sex in the Disney.
You could probably have sex in Great America, though. I don't think their budget's as high with security.
Great America's like, ah, fuck it, whatever.
You could probably get a Bijan Gold Striker and nobody would notice. Oh, wait, no, all those rides, they fucking film you, like the whole, that's the big thing now, we're gonna film you on the ride, screaming and hollering and all this shit, so when you get off the ride, you can see a video of how stupid you are, and then we'll sell it to you for like $30, that's the big thing they do now.
You want your porno? It's gonna cost you $30.
Which means I've gotta take Extifer. I need to see what he's doing on May 18th. We're going to take Extifer to the park and make him ride a Top Gun or whatever they call it now. It's not called Top Gun anymore, but it's going to always be Top Gun.
Really fast jet ride.
Homoerotic volleyball. All right, let's get to
Maverick and Goose's wild ride.
Let's get to the emails. Every week you guys email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we pick some of our favorite emails to read here on the show. So again, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Tiger Claw says, I wouldn't be surprised if people were caught having sex and it's a small world. Why would you do that? Don't do it. All right, we have several emails tonight. I'm going to get through these, though. Email number one from Flacco Jones. Remember last week on the show, we talked about Flacco Jones submitting to Summer Games Done Quick.
Yes.
This is a follow-up to that.
For his,
For PT.
PT.
So Flocko writes us and says, just finished the latest episode, and yes, I did submit one of my PT runs for the Summer Games Done Quick Marathon, but it was rejected. Womp womp. They always do a spooky Games Done Quick block during the Summer Marathon, and I was hoping, since PT is kind of short, that they could have squeezed it in despite not having cool glitches or skips. Sadly, they are only running three spooky games this year. Silent Hill 3, one of the Amnesia games, and one of the Resident Evil games. I'm too lazy to look it up. I'll keep trying every time a marathon comes around. Plus, my time keeps getting better, so that should help. I'm currently top 3 in any percent and top 2 in the 100% category. I have a feeling that PT would have a better chance of making it through, though, if they didn't pick another Silent Hill game for the spooky block. Wish me luck, and if I do get accepted, yours will be the first podcast to know. Well, I appreciate that. Tiger Claw in chat says, maybe it got rejected because it's not a proper game. It's just a demo. You know what? It's more than just a demo. It's much more. How dare you? It's much more than a demo. Someday, we can hope. Moving on to another email coming this week from YYR. Hello, LR. One of the many, many NX discussion threads on NeoGAF this week again brought up the big issue of third-party support. As it stands, love it or hate it, I think most of us can agree that the only reason to own Wii U is for its exclusives, most of which are from Nintendo themselves. Some gamers say, who cares? I buy a Nintendo console to play Nintendo games. But we can easily see with the Wii U that this group isn't big enough to carry the system on its own. How do we approach this problem? Unfortunately, my belief is that the root of the problem is also the root of Nintendo's strategy to intentionally not do the same thing that everyone else is doing, but instead to build a console around a concept. Let's say I'm a developer, which I am. If I'm going to develop something for Wii U, I feel compelled to write a game that takes advantage of the gamepad because of how unique it is. But because of that, it takes more effort to design or release such a game, and then the end result can't be ported to other platforms as is. This makes developing for Wii U a riskier proposition right out the gate. Or I could develop something for Wii U that barely or doesn't take advantage of the gamepad at all. While this means I could release the same game on other platforms, owners of these platforms will then say, well, why would I buy it on Wii U then? Because of the Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, you could get the added value of trophies or achievements, the social features, and of course the convenience of using the console that is already your primary gaming platform. If it's a big risk regardless of the approach, why would a developer put their game on Wii U at all? And if the NX turns out to be another Nintendo concept piece, how will it change a third party's mind about developing for a Nintendo console? That, I believe, is the greatest challenge Nintendo faces with NX, especially in year one, when the initial sales numbers can make or break a console. I hope they're ready for it. Crossing my fingers, toes, and eyes, Aaron, YYR. Great email, because this kind of piggybacks on something I was saying earlier in the show. But there is one little twist I want you to consider with NX that's a little different. At least, again, this is all hypothesizing. But some of the loudest rumors have been that there's going to be some type of handheld console synergy with the NX, which is, I think, why Loki said earlier in the show, whatever, I wasn't expecting it until 2017 anyway. Because actually, I think a lot of people were expecting that the handheld was going to come this year, the console was going to come next year. Does this news affect that whole relationship? I don't know, because we don't know what NX is. But hold on a minute, and let's assume there's a dual thing going on with the handheld slash console. There's really not a lot of competition in the handheld space right now. Mobile. I mean, that's the biggest competitor. I'm sorry, but the Vita at this point is really a fringe thing, and that's, like, not really... I mean, and look, I know I'm pissing off Vita fans with that, but you got a, like, dose of realism here. Like, the Vita is kind of a fringe ultra fan thing. You think Nintendo's thing is narrow. The Vita has a very, very narrow audience right now, as it is, which is too bad. I really like the Vita. But Nintendo kind of dominates the handheld outside of mobile. So if a company were to make a game for NX, it's going to be a lot easier to get in that handheld space. So I wonder if Nintendo isn't somehow leveraging their robust third-party network on 3DS, of which they have a lot of people still making games on 3DS, to maybe port the games that way, if that makes any sense at all. That's just, you know, it's just a wild thought. Again, we don't really know shit until they really tell us more about what this console is all about. But if we want to put all the rumors together and hypothesize from there, I would say the handheld angle is what may make this a little bit different situation, because now you're not just putting out a game that you can't put out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox or whatever, but you will have a game that's on console and the dominant handheld. So dominant dedicated handheld anyway, because I can't really ignore that mobile is kind of a big deal. Anyway. Stop Drop in chat says, maybe if they cater to indie games, neither Sony or Microsoft has really gone in head first in the indie scene. Maybe Nintendo can compete as a highly polished Steam store. You know, I feel like Nintendo does try to do that a little bit. Like, you know, they just don't do the greatest job of really pushing the indie games front and center. But if you actually go on the eShop, there is quite a bit of stuff. By the way, there's a really killer Humble Bundle right now that's some indie Nintendo games that's definitely worth checking out. And I think there's even some commercial release. Like, I think Rhythm Thief is one of the games in it, which was, you know, for you music game fans, you get a kick out of that. But to be fair, I want to say, Sony, wasn't this just like two E3s ago that they had like a whole line of indie developers up on the stage? And they were like, here's this and this and this. So I don't know if I would say that Sony and Microsoft are like not. I kind of think they actually, Sony and Microsoft, do just as good of a job with the indies, at least right now. But we'll see. We'll see. Again, the handheld thing I think could be a big deal if that's even what it is. I don't know. Let's get to another email from AZHP. AZHP says, since I chimed in on earlier reports from this show about the Coleco Chameleon, I thought I'd share the final bit of information reported by Eurogamer about our pal Mike Kennedy. The article can be found here, and he links over to a Eurogamer article, and then there's an Atari Age post that it references as well. I'm going to summarize for the benefit of the show. Mike Kennedy came forward on the Atari Age forums announcing that he was tabling the console endeavor for good and explained that, yes, the two prototype consoles were fakes. However, he claims that he was in the dark just as much as the fans who were misled. He claims that he hired a hardware engineer who provided the original prototype with instructions to not show the back of the unit no matter what. Mike didn't understand why, so he ended up releasing pictures of the back of the system anyway to prove that the console was actually plugged in. This is when the unit was identified as a Super Nintendo Junior inside a Jaguar shell. When he took this information back to his engineer, he insisted that it was Super Nintendo parts for the output, but the rest was his. Kennedy believed him, and they released images of the clear Jaguar shell with the PCP visible. According to Kennedy, he even joked about how people online were trying to identify the board in our shell, laughing and telling me they won't find it because it's our original work. Again, I believed him. After the PCB was exposed to be a PCI capture card, Kennedy withdrew from the venture. He claims he was swindled out of nearly $10,000 of development costs and is just as much a victim as anyone else. Whether or not this is true will only be ever known by those involved, but this is likely the last we will hear regarding what actually happened with the Chameleon. If it's true, I do feel sorry for Mike, as he just wanted to revive retro games, which was clearly a passion of his, as he spoke about on this very show. Now his name is tarnished, and he will likely never be able to launch a video game-related endeavor again. Hopefully you all found this enlightening. Yours truly, AZHP. Thank you for the follow-up. I appreciate it. I hope that what he is saying is true. You know, I have no reason to disbelieve it. It is just a real bummer. It just sounds like, and with all due respect, obviously, you know, he's been on the show before, and I know, I don't know if he listens, but I know some people who work with him do. I'm sure he's a brilliant guy, and I'm sure he does really enjoy the retro gaming and all that stuff. It just sounds like, if I'm taking all this when I'm reading at face value, he was just in over his head. He got into a venture that he really needed to rely on other people to kind of help out. And that's what you do sometimes. You know, you might be the producer, but you really rely on building that team. I can't believe I'm going to fucking use this analogy, but here I go. Donald Trump keeps saying if he becomes president, he's going to surround himself with a cabinet of people that, you know what they're doing, essentially, because obviously Donald Trump does not know what he's doing. Am I really making this comparison? My God. But that's what you do. If you're a good producer, you surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up. And it sounds like, unfortunately, he got done in by some of the people that he surrounded himself with. And it's unfortunate. Too bad. So there it is. Now I need to take a shower after making that comparison.
Here's the thing about that guy, dude. He claims, you know, that it was this other person that made this prototype console and said, hey, don't, whatever you do, don't show the back of the console. Wouldn't that kind of like,
set off some red flags,
you know, or wouldn't you want to kind of dig in there to see what exactly was in that console prototype that you paid this guy several thousand dollars to make? And then after it was come out that it was a Super Nintendo in there, you went back to the same fucking idiot to put out another fucking prototype that ended up being another fake. It's like, come on.
Hindsight is 2020. What can I say? Stop Drop wants to offer another perspective here in chat from live.vognetwork.com, saying he's so full of it. He's not the victim here. He already had drama in the Indiegogo campaign. He knows he had to have all his ducks in a row. He has no excuse for claiming ignorance, as if this is the first time he's ever gone down this road. All right. Let's get to our last email tonight from Raginator, who says, "Hi, OLR. As per usual, it's Raginator, and I have a short email for you this week. You're welcome, Dark Sakura." Joke's on you. She's not here. As you may remember, every so often on OLR, I practically beg companies to re-release their classic games on Steam. Well, to a limited degree, it would seem that Namco has listened. A week to 10 days ago, they released four titles for individual sale, two of which technically were available via Pac-Man Museum: Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, and Dig Dug. Just a quick aside, Raginator, they also released these on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It actually isn't unique to PC, but yes, it did hit PC as well. While I won't speak for others, I'll say this. While this is rather limited and not perfect, it is a step in the right direction. I hope the trend continues, not just with Namco, but with other companies as well. This email was brought to you by Rocket Weasel, home of the rocket-propelled ass-bloating weasels. Thank you, Raginator. Yes, lots of retroactivity on Steam between what Loki was talking about earlier and what you're bringing up with the classic arcade releases. And I suppose, as with most things in the industry, if those re-releases sell well, then they'll do more. Which is why I kind of wish Namco had done something else. Like you said, they released games they've already done in Pac-Man Museum. And I want to say Dig Dug was in a PlayStation 3 collection. Galaga is available on Xbox One and Xbox 360. I just feel like these choices are not exactly new, so I kind of wish Namco would look elsewhere in the catalog for some things to release, because Namco has a very rich 80s arcade library. So I don't know, maybe Pac-Man is kind of a big deal, so I guess it's to test the waters, but we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. I did want to say, though, on kind of a tangent thing, because this is something Raginator brought up a couple weeks ago, and Loki, maybe you saw this as well. Do you remember when Raginator was talking about the whole movies on Steam thing and that there's not a lot of movies available on Steam? I swear to God, just within the last week, I see an ad on Steam. Lionsgate is now selling movies on Steam, and you can get, like, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and Mockingjay, and all this stuff. You can get these movies, probably Saw is on there too, is Lionsgate. You can get a lot of these movies through Steam. Here's the thing, though, because the minute I saw that, I thought of, that's interesting, because we just had that discussion on the show this last week about what are they going to do when they have to hit the kill switch. These movies that they're selling are rentals. They're not actually to own the title. It's just to rent them. So I guess that's how they got around that. But anyway, I thought of that, Raginator, because your email or call or something from last week, and then like literally in the past 7 days, suddenly we have expanded movie presence on Steam. So I just thought that was very interesting. So, SSGO 100 Matt says, "Raginator is Steam's biggest fanboy. Of course, they'd have tabs on his thoughts." All right, there it is. Thank you for all the emails this week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for consideration for a future week. We're just a couple stories away from your calls, but first, we have to get some of the angst out in a little segment we call the FUs of the Week. Loki,
F you to being sick. Thankfully, it's a lot better now because I don't have a fever. But like from seriously Monday through practically Friday, I was running a fever all the time, even with ibuprofen and acetaminophen in my system. It was just not fun whatsoever. Because that made it very hard to learn a new job since I'm kind of working in a different position at the moment. But thankfully I'm better now, but it's still congested, so that still sucks. And tired. And goddammit, why won't this load up?
Are you trying to dink around with something there on the Gear VR?
Yeah, I was trying to get the Gear VR Minecraft to work, but like I popped it in there. It's all, please install the Gear VR software. I'm like, it's already fucking on there. I've used it before. Okay, fine.
All right. My FU of the week goes to getting sick, because I've been sick like three times in the past 6 months. This is ridiculous. people at my job are going to be like, what's wrong with you? You're a big box of cooties. They're probably not wrong. That's how I feel. Anyway, I'm hoping whatever this is will blow over really quick, because I would like to work next week. There's a lot of stuff going on. Anyhow, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we are going to get to the Skype line. But first, Loki's going to have to put down the Gear VR and get to our next to last story.
So, you know, last we heard of Vividi, they were basically messing with Activision. Activision finally wiped their hands clean of them, and now they've parted ways. Now they have turned towards Ubisoft and are making purchases of their shares to, I don't know, maybe try to take over the company. But apparently, after receiving the bailout package from Activision, they've been buying up shares of Ubisoft, hinting at a hostile takeover. Their last purchase that they made brought their control percentage up to 17.73% and 15% of the voting shares. And of course, Ubisoft made a comment regarding this as well. It says, "Well, we are not at all surprised by this latest statement from Vivendi, and nor by the intent behind it. This is a confirmation of their habitual strategy of creeping control, in which they say they have no intention to take control of Ubisoft while steadily increasing their stake and preparing for an offensive at the next annual shareholders meeting. This strategy of successively announcing conflicting intentions is contrary to good corporate practices and is not in the best interest of Ubisoft's other shareholders. Moreover, despite our repeated written requests since they first entered into our capital, Vividi has never presented any details or convincing plan on how this supposed cooperation would take place. Ubisoft's management remains committed to preserving the independence of the company, which the condition for long-term value creation that will benefit for all of our shareholders." So, I don't know. It didn't work out that great last time that they took over a company, so we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see what the long-term vision is there, especially going into what could be a new console cycle here, or half console cycle.
Yeah.
Well, lastly but not leastly, we have an esports-related story. And, boy, this is embarrassing, but it's not loading for me. So, unfortunately, all I know is I don't have the details. I just have the headline. But there's an esports league out there that has banned YouPorn from sponsoring an esports team. Poor YouPorn. Can't catch a break. What do you mean they don't want to associate pornography with esports? What's up with that?
I think you should take, whatever sponsors you can. So, yeah, basically, it's the ESL.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and finally, go ahead, though. Finally came up for me.
No, go ahead.
All right. The ESL, the directors of the Esports League, ESLgaming.com, they have ruled that YouPorn, that team, is going to be banned because of the association with that sponsor. Advertising pornography is not legal in the markets we operate in, and the vast majority of partners we working with have a strict no drugs, no alcohol, no pornography rule. No fun, Jesus. Rules that we've contractually taken on board. These aren't new rules, but ones that have been in our rule books for a long time. We spoke to the manager of Team YP earlier this year, and in that conversation, we explained the situation and rules in detail and offered to look for potential alternatives in a bigger group. At the same time, we are consulting with our legal teams about this. We will inform the team and management as soon as we have any updates. So there you go. YouPorn team has been banned. Come on. If it's on the internet, there's porn. Like, people don't know that. What's the big deal with porn?
What's more
anyway?
Shocking is they're playing Evolve.
Stop Drop in chat asks, did the YouPorn team yell money shot instead of headshot? Maybe. I don't know. Is this the actual YouPorn team that they show in the picture here?
I don't think so.
I think they're just... That's gonna be interesting though when your team just the stock photo just ends up on the YouPorn story.
Who gives a shit? I mean, it's just a company. I'm sorry that you don't like what they do.
Yeah,
I think You should have your, you know, that would make it more exciting. Sex, drugs, and, you know, alcohol. That should all be a part of this esports thing.
You know what? Here's the thing. If you porn, yeah, I guess this is the same group, because this is Tiger Claw posted a picture in the chat, so this is the same group. Hey, if you porn wants to sponsor this show, I'm all for it. Bring it on. We'll interview some of the actors and actresses. We'll go the whole nine yards. What do you guys think? Should OLR sell out to YouPorn? Yes or no?
Yes. I'm fully fine with selling out to YouPorn.
All right. We put it out there. YouPorn, participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to come on over. All right, that's it for the news that we had on deck tonight. So we're going to open up the Skype line. I know it's a little early, but I warned you guys it was going to be a shorter show tonight. 1-877-GAME-OLR, or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, if you want to give us a call. While we wait to see if any calls come in, Loki, do you have any last minute stories?
No. Sadly, no. There wasn't a whole lot last minute stuff.
Yeah, it actually, all things considered, despite the big news about Nintendo that happened, it seemed to be a little bit more relaxed this week. It was a little bit quieter. I was scanning through Twitter to see if we got any tweets this week. This one's really random, but we were tweeted something by Blue Swim a few days ago that talks about, and I don't know if you heard about this, Loki. Maybe you saw the tweet as well, but ABC is bringing back the match game.
Oh,
with
yeah,
Alec
yeah.
Baldwin as the host. It's kind of a weird choice for host for me. I mean, you know, Alec Baldwin was great on 30 Rock, but
there was something I was going to mention since Tiger Claude brought up to me earlier, and I did watch it this weekend. Was that independent animation that was done for Star Fox called A Fox in Space.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched that?
Yeah, you were tweeting. I have not watched it, but
it's actually pretty cool. It's like it's a very interesting style. It reminded me like early 80s, you know, like more of the, not necessarily adult, but like, you know, kind of like that adult style cartoon or animation from like the early 80s, I guess. You know, where it's, you back when cartoons, you know, were just, it's a medium, you know, where they had some adult storylines like Heavy Metal, you know, for example, you know, something like that. But it was, you know, Star Fox related, and I thought it was pretty cool.
No, I didn't see that. I'll have to check that out. I still need to watch the Final Fantasy 15 anime, too, because that was a thing that came out a few weeks ago when they did the big Final Fantasy 15 event, and I still haven't watched that, so.
Yeah, Tiger Claw linked it in chat, so go check it out.
Awesome. All right, I'll do one last call for calls. I know it's a little early tonight. It's probably throwing some people off, but we'll see. 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. But I think we just have less of an audience and stuff tonight, just because Bobby wasn't here, and then I think isn't Game of Thrones back tonight or something?
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is. So there goes Sunday nights for some people. And these are the ones that now are in uncharted territory, because they are past the books at this point, because George R. R. Martin can't write fast enough, although somehow he's killing everybody in 2016. I don't get it. All right. Oh, well, our phone is lighting up, so let's get to it. Hello, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
I guess it's the savior of the show, Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. How's it going?
Ah, pretty good, pretty good. I'm just kind of relaxing after a fun, interesting weekend.
Did you do a con this weekend, or what was your weekend?
No, this weekend was Sakura Matsuri, but I decided I didn't go because I forgot to get time off and so forth, and I triple booked my weekend, and then I was like, you know what, maybe I will go because someone had an extra pass. I get up this morning, it's raining, and I'm like, I'm not taking my $1,000 of equipment out into the... No, not doing it. Nope.
You should... You sound like my end of June is looking crazy right now. I'm like triple booked crazy. So anyway.
I just opened up Outlook and I'm like, let me look at my calendar for the summer. I'm just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, what's on your mind?
This whole thing about Nintendo. I mean... Don't get me wrong. Nintendo has failed us in the past. but I can overlook those for what they were trying to do. I don't think that NX is going to, quote-unquote, make or break the company. I mean, they have one hell of a war chest. If you ask me, the console just has to have the tech to keep up with everybody else. And if, and I believe the rumor that it's going to be PC-based, which means cheaper overhead costs. You just pull what you need off of off the shelves, and everything's going to just rock and roll.
But what about the whole backwards compatibility? Because that's something Nintendo's famous for. I would be very surprised if they did not retain backwards compatibility with at least the Wii U games. That would really surprise me if they jumped that whole ship.
I just have three words about that.
Mm.
Fuck backwards compatibility.
Oh, those are some strong words.
Maybe it's me. I look at it this way. Yes, I have my PS3. Yes, I have the hardware fat model that's fully compatible with the PS2. Do you know what else I have sitting up, hooked up to my TV? My PS2. Just because I do have import games that do not play on my PS3. If I was to go out and get an Xbox One, I would not trade in my Xbox 360 because maybe out of my collection, only one game would be compatible. Plus, you're also looking at, you have two different types of hardware architecture to deal with. I mean, that will increase the overhead cost of the system. And I had an interesting discussion with a friend of mine about this, and she was trying to prove the point of the backwards compatibility on the PS4, and I'm just like, well, that's all streaming. Between you and me, I'm not paying monthly for a streaming service for it to play older titles, you know? Yeah. I will not pay, like, if I already paid $40 on a game for the 360, if they recode the game for the Xbox One, I'm not going to spend another $40 when I already have the game. I'd rather deal with the patience of the emulation, or I'll just pop in my 360 and I'll play it.
I really wish, though, that PlayStation 3 was backwards compatible on PlayStation 4, and it kind of irritates me that they even have that whole, you know, PlayStation Now thing, and yet if I put a PS3 disc in the drive, it's still not going to let me do it. I'm going to have to buy it separately. It just kind of irritates me. I'm out of shelf space is what it is, Rama. I mean, I don't have space for all these fucking consoles in the living room. And so, you know, I had to make a choice. I moved the PS3 out to I only use the PS3 now for TuneIn here in the studio so we can listen to Bobby's show while we wait for OLR. That's pretty much the use of the PS3 right now. I don't really game a lot on it anymore. I really wish, if nothing else, if I could just like stream from the PS3 to the PS4, even that would be something. But I kind of doubt that's going to be a thing.
I mean, theoretically, with the proper hardware software, you could do it. Sony could do it, but they probably don't want to. But again, it's two different types of architectures, and it's going to be harder to emulate, like on the Xbox One, emulate the PowerPC processor, and for the PS3, it's harder to emulate the Cell processor. To Sony, it's just cheaper to offer this service. Now, if I had a PS4 and these games are streaming compatible, if I did not have the game, I would not mind paying monthly to play those backwards compatible games. But if that game is on my shelf, I want to run that service, pop the game in, and not pay for it.
Yeah, I agree. I really wish that's the way they'd done it, but for whatever reason, it's not. We can always hope that maybe they'll change it, come out E3. I just hope, here's what I really hope, because this would be such a fucking Nintendo thing to do. They come out and say the PlayStation 4 Neo will be backwards compatible with PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 3. I'm going to be so fucking mad if that's the case.
I've been reading specs on it, and the upgrade for the PlayStation 4 has me kind of pissed off. I mean, from this aspect of how much memory that's going to be in the system. I mean, like, memory is cheap. You mean to tell me you can't put an extra 8 gigs in the system? Yes, I know the dev kits are designed around 8, but if you put another 8 in there, the games run a lot smoother and a lot faster. I mean, come on, fam. Come on.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we've got a lot of questions going into E3, but the good news is we only have, not even 6 weeks to wait.
Yeah.
So we'll get there.
Much.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go to see if anybody else comes through, but have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, bro. You take care of yourself.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
For the folks just joining us, if you join late, we are already in phone calls. It is going to be a shorter show tonight just because at the top of the show I mentioned I'm actually not feeling too well, but I really, really did not want to skip another week. My nose is getting bleh and my throat is scratchy, so I did not really want to talk for the full 3 hours. So I hope you guys will understand we are doing a little bit of a shorter show tonight, but we had to do something because we've just been missing too many weeks lately, and I don't want to be a bi-monthly show. I want to be a weekly show with incidental weeks off. Anyway, we'll put one more shout out there for calls, 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. And then, after we get this last call, looks like we got one more call coming in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Act-Deft.
Hi, Act-Deft. What's up?
Why can't we be so negative against Nintendo?
Why can't we be negative against Nintendo, or why are we negative?
Well, why can we and why are we negative against Nintendo? Towards Nintendo.
Well, yeah. I could show you a tweet that says, please look forward to the new Zelda game coming holiday of 2015. So maybe some people just feel that Nintendo is disappointing with the pushback and the pushback. And yes, I know the whole Miyamoto line about, you know, a bad game is bad and the good game will be memorable and everybody will forget. But at the same time, you know, you sort of, I think you kind of invest yourself and you emotionally get ready for some of these games. And even those folks that support Nintendo kind of champion and saying, you know, these games are coming, they're going to be awesome. And then to find out they're not, it's a little disheartening, you know. But again, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. I tend to feel like, all right, once 2017 gets here, if the NX really delivers with the games I want, I'm telling you, if the NX has like Metroid, F-Zero, Mario, this conversation's done. I am on the NX day one. I probably will be no matter what anyway. But, like, you know, with the right games, Nintendo will pull it out. But maybe the fact that those right games never seem to show up is also part of the reason we get very frustrated with Nintendo. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I would think partially like that. Yeah, we do have some games that don't deliver on their promises and all that, and with the Wii U, it was a really, really like a hard period, if we could say that, when only, we can say a handful of games were really, really, really excellent. Though I do have a vast Wii U library, and I could pretty much mention more than 10. But yeah, most people probably want at least 5 games that do one with the system, and I hope the NX fixes that problem, and Nintendo does get the idea that we want some of the older games like F-Zero, like a new Metroid, and all that stuff, but we also kind of underestimate Nintendo a lot. And I mean a lot. We, like Splatoon, and even Pikmin 3, like many people, and I was reading a tweet earlier today that said, oh, the Nintendo Wii U doesn't have any strategy games. And I'm like, what about Pikmin 3? Which is one of, I'm not into strategy games, but Pikmin 3 was pretty, pretty good. So, I don't know about that. And the Nintendo Wii U has some really great games that pretty much were overlooked. That's my probably biggest problem with people saying that the Wii U failed when most of the time they didn't even give them a chance.
I would agree that there's a lot of people out there that probably hate on the Wii U that's probably never touched one, but that's just the nature of the internet, unfortunately. And I think, you know, there's also a lot of Wii U champions out there too, so it's kind of a mixed bag, I suppose, on Twitter and in any circle of gaming. You're always going to have the Nintendo fans and so forth. But I think too, part of Nintendo's kind of tone, I think, changed with Wii U, and I really blame third parties for that. You go back and you look at that first E3, it looked like every third party in the world was gung-ho about the Wii U. The problem was is that they made a key error, and that was that all the games that they released right out the gate were rehashes of games that they had just put out a year ago. And I think if there had been more games like Zombie U out the gate and less, I hate to say it, Mass Effect 3 and less Batman Arkham, whatever game it was, that was it Asylum? No, it was Arkham Knight.
It was
Arkham City.
Asylum.
Whatever Batman game came out on Wii U when it came out, you know, if it was less of that and more of the stuff like Zombie U and so forth coming from third parties, it would have helped tremendously, I think. And I have a feeling Nintendo pushing back the NX may have something to do with third parties more than we think. The third parties might have said, we need more time to make these games work. And Nintendo is giving it to them because they do not want to make the same mistake twice.
Not to mention that, yeah, that Wii U lacked a lot of first-party support too at the beginning. Like, what was the only game, or I think two games that were Nintendo published, that were Nintendo Land, and I think, I can't remember exactly, but I think it was also Game & Wario. But yeah, also Nintendo didn't push like a big game. That's probably why we're also seeing the new Zelda on the NX.
Yeah. I think Nintendo may have underestimated how fast EA and Ubisoft were going to get the fuck out of there. I think that really caught them off guard.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. All right. Well, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thanks for your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, my friend. All right. That is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I want to thank you guys for being here, whether it be on the live or the podcast feed. I really appreciate that. You know what we always say here at OLR, if you enjoyed the show, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can't share those voices unless you guys use them. Dark Sakura will be back next week, and we'll catch up with how her week at Disneyland was and what all what all games she got to play. Maybe she got to visit the arcade there or something. I don't know. I want to say that Pinagogo, the pinball thing, is coming up really soon, too. I don't know if that's next week or 2 weeks away, but I'm sure Dark Sakura will give us some perspective on that as well. Loki, have fun with your Gear VR. And
yeah, I didn't get my old ass controller to sync with it.
Try to play some games this week, now that you're feeling a little better.
Yeah.
And I'll try to play something that's not just Final Fantasy 14 or Diablo. But you guys, I just love online games. I just do. I keep on giving. Anyway, that's what I play. Final thoughts tonight. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I'm going to go buy a new Bluetooth controller because this one doesn't work.
What?
Well, it works, but it doesn't work with what I want it to work with. So I gotta buy something more generic.
Well, hey, at least you have a little time tonight. Yes. You might be able to get to Best Buy before they close. Who knows?
No.
Oh.
It's not gonna
happen. Don't.
They close at 8.
Oh, I thought it was 9. All right. And then my final thought is I'm going to just rest up. I'm going to go have some tea and just try to rest my voice and feel better. Thank you guys for understanding and bearing with our ups and our downs. Your support means an awful lot, and that's why we continue to do this as much as we can. For free every week for you guys. Really appreciate it. Have a great week. Go play some games. Have fun. We'll talk about games again in 7 days. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.